The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
So we're going to talk about debates. What should and shouldn't be debated? What who should and shouldn't participate? The reason we're doing that is after the controversy that has been caused at Trinity College this week, when an invitation to Professor Richard Dawkins to address the Historical Society was rescinded. On the basis of the auditor of the HIST, Breed O'Donnell, announced the cancellation in a statement on her Instagram page, saying she'd been unaware of Richard Dawkins' opinions on Islam and sexual assault until this evening, adding that the society will not be moving ahead with his address as we value our members' comfort above all else. Valuing our members' comfort is something that has actually jumped out. I have to say, we've had problems getting people to actually discuss to support the decision of the Historical Society in Trinity in relation to this. We've asked the auditor of the UCD Law Society, Fergal Johnson, to join us, not specifically to address the decision that Trinity has made, but to talk about the overall concept of debates. And David Quinn is with us as well, a former editor of the Irish Catholic and also director of the Ion Institute. David, if I can start with you, Richard Dawkins is not a man with whom you have, I think, ever agreed, but you have come publicly to his support on this one. Why?
I mean, it's kind of an unusual situation. Like, I debated Richard Dawkins on radio over 10 years ago, and he brought out his book, The God Delusion. And like, this is a man who has said being brought up Catholic is tantamount to child abuse. The God of the Old Testament is a petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak, misogynistic, infanticidal, genocidal, etc. He says the second worst religion in the world is Catholicism. He has said, in the context of Down syndrome, you're better off aborting a Down syndrome baby if you're found to be pregnant with one. So there's a whole list and a whole catalogue of these things. And yet I still find myself defending him against the decision of the Historical Society at Trinity.
Why?
Because he is... It's an incredible precedent to set that a man of his status and standing, I mean, he could be obviously a much less famous person, but he's one of the world's leading atheists. He's one of the world's leading intellectuals. He's written some of the most influential popular science books of the last 30 and 40 years. And to deny him a platform because it would make some people in the society or some of the students attending feel uncomfortable, to me, simply beggars belief. And, like, where do you stop? Because if your primary value in a debating society is making the audience feel comfortable, well, then you're going to end up with a very narrow select number of people being invited to it. And I would have thought the purpose of a debating society is to challenge people with views they are very likely not to disagree with. And that's why you have two sides in a debate. And a lot of the students are going to disagree with one and agree with the other and vice versa. And so how can you possibly make the comfort of your students the primary goal of a debating society? It just, to me, defeats the whole purpose of having a debating society.
Fergal Johnson, as auditor of the UCD Law Society, where do you stand in relation to the selection of guests and whether they would make your members uncomfortable?
Well, I think there's probably two things at play here. The first is that I think in principle, what the Historical Society have done in Trinity, I'd agree in principle with that. I think that college societies have the right to rescind invitations for a variety of reasons if they think that the society itself or the society's members, if their interests aren't best served by this. But also something that I think has been slightly left out of the media coverage over the past couple of days is that Richard Dawkins wasn't being brought in for a debate, but for an address with the Historical Society. And these are addresses anyone who's been to and involved with university societies will know well. It's something that we in the Law Society do regularly. We have our honorary life memberships and our vice president's awards. And in general, these ceremonies are ceremonial and they tend to have an award at them. And with this award, there is either an implicit or an explicit endorsement of the person who is there and of their views. And normally, by the Law Society, when we do this, we choose, in general, apolitical or non-controversial guests a lot of the time from areas of arts or sports. So in the past, we've had the likes of Paul O'Connell, Cristiano Ronaldo, Mary Robinson, or The Script, all of whom at the time were holding either an apolitical office or who were involved in completely unrelated offices and unrelated, I suppose, areas. And in that way, I just feel that it isn't, I suppose, most ideal for someone to be endorsing these views. And if this is something that a society doesn't feel comfortable doing, especially if it's something that could alienate members or that could, as I said, not serve the society's interests best, I think it's probably the duty of the society to do so.
What do you make of that, David Quinn?
Well, I mean, it is an important point if he wasn't coming along to debate. But remember, they're still saying that the comfort of our members is primary, which can't be the primary goal of a debating society. And incidentally, the Law Soc on the Law Society, also a debating society, obviously a UCD that Fergus belongs to. In 1987, one of its speakers was Martin Cahill, the gangster. All right. Now, I presume that made a lot of people feel uncomfortable, but for whatever reason, they decided they'd give a platform to Martin Cahill. Now, would that happen today? And, you know, let me just say to the HIST Society at Trinity, OK, invite back Richard Dawkins and have him take part in a debate. Or would they still rule that out if the comfort of your members is primary? And is it only the comfort of members who belong to certain minority groups, for example, Islam, because a lot of his views have been considered to be very offensive to Islam. But clearly, a lot of his views are also very offensive to Catholics and Christians. So are we talking about protecting the feelings of only certain members of the society and only certain students who might attend? And then again, you're beginning to narrow the spectrum of acceptable opinion. And this is why we had those intellectuals signing that letter, including John Bannon, as you know, the Irish writer. J.K. Rowling signed it. Margaret Atwood of Handmaid's Tale signed it, etc., to say that we're narrowing debate too much. All these people are on the liberal side of issues, but they just see that this kind of mentality of comfort first and protecting people from hurt feelings first is having an extremely narrowing effect upon public debate.
Fergal Johnson, as auditor of UCD Law Society, isn't it the case that maybe some debaters should discomfort the audience because they should make them think things true?
Absolutely. I think, sir, just to come back to something that David said there, I understand that the law brought in Martin Cahill in 1987, that was over a decade before I was born. So I get that that happens, but things have very much changed since then. But no, I think that's definitely true. And in LawSoc, it's something that we're very proud of, is the debates that we hold. And we will always ask tough and controversial questions when they need to be asked. For example, we ran for decades, before the vote on the repeal of the Eighth Amendment, we ran debates that had audiences of hundreds of people that would have queues out the door. And that not only that, that often reach national press, we asked these questions. We ran debates on marriage equality before. That was a regular thing, on the decriminalisation of homosexuality further back in time. And this is something that we're always very proud to do. However, what's key is that it's done in the correct way, and it's done in a balanced and a respectful manner towards everyone, where all views can be considered. And again, the difficulty is when you've got someone coming in for an address, then that isn't balanced. There is, as I mentioned, an either implicit or explicit endorsement. And also, you have to make sure that you've got people from both sides. David, you'll know you were in for a LawSoc debate last year on euthanasia. And again, this was done with respect on both sides, where we had people from a religious side, and then we also had people like other speakers from the completely different side.
For example.
I beg your pardon?
Tom Curran of Exit International was
there. Tom Curran was there, exactly. And it was done in a balanced and respectful way. And that's how we feel this should be done, where it serves both society as a whole and also, most of all, our members. It serves them in the best way possible. It serves our society.
Yeah, but last year at that debate, in fact, one of the student papers tried to get me cancelled. They wrote to the LawSoc to say you shouldn't be bringing a guy like him because of his conservative views. And fortunately, the LawSoc stood up to them and said, no, we're going to have him. But you can see the pressure. I mean, it tends to be people, like myself, who would express politically incorrect views. I mean, again, I find myself in a surprising position of defending Richard Dawkins, who also says things that some people find offensive, even though he is completely pro-abortion, he's pro-gay marriage, he's pro all of these liberal issues, and yet, because he criticises Islam, he's found, you know, to be wanting in the eyes of his society. So it tends to be people on kind of one side of these issues all the time who gets cancelled. Now, we saw recently what happened to J.K. Rowling. So the pressure always comes down on one side, is to protect certain minority groups from anything they might find offensive. And the word offensive is incredibly subjective. And, you know, making your members feel comfortable, also incredibly subjective. And I noticed, by the way, the HIST Society put out a statement there in July to apologise for its past systemic racism towards members. And there's no evidence, actually, of them being systemically racist. I mean, their auditor from around 1980 of the HIST Society was Kerida Naidu, who's a senior counsel of Indian descent. So I don't know where they're getting that from. It's kind of like, you know, some kind of a performative thing, to show their virtue.
Okay.
But just finally, like they're saying, in order to combat the systemic racism in the HIST Society, they are now mandating that all members of the committee must go to unconscious bias training, quote-unquote. And we know what that means. It'll mean we're going to be ever more comfortable towards certain groups, but we won't care about others.
I'm going to leave the last word to you, Fergal Johnson, as auditor of the UCD Law Society, which is not responsible for disinviting Richard Dawkins.
Okay, so I think if I could just touch on one thing that David said there about cancelling, and I think there's been a certain perception in the media over the last couple of days, I think in general with these things about people being cancelled. You mentioned J.K. Rowling, you mentioned how you yourself were, you said that you felt this, the student papers in UCD tried to cancel you last year. People would say Richard Dawkins is being cancelled, but I had a look before I came on here. Richard Dawkins has over 2.9 million followers on Twitter. David, you're still a columnist in the Sunday Times. J.K. Rowling is still one of the richest and most successful authors of all time. These people aren't being cancelled.
Well, they're being cancelled in particular circumstances. I mean, am I supposed to be thankful that I haven't been completely cancelled and completely deprived of my livelihood?
David, would mind I let you finish? If you'd do the same for me, I'd appreciate it. All I was saying was that if people want to access the ideas of Richard Dawkins, he's written numerous best-selling books, there's hundreds of YouTube videos, he's been a guest on podcasts, you'll find so much information about him out there. He's not being cancelled in any circumstances, I don't believe. It's a college society doing what they feel is best for them and for their members, is what I believe has always happened.
I don't see why he should be thankful for the fact that he still has a career.
Thank you very much. David Quinn and Fergal Johnson from the UCD Law Society.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.